The Roundtable on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Info Roundtable. I'm Usman Samuddin. Now, cricket is all about legal encounters, nail-biting clashes, and the rule-driven digital brilliance. Now, while the Ashes is tradition and history behind them, India-Pakistan clashes are perhaps unrivaled in the passion they generate in two cricket-crazy, frenzied nations. After their thrilling encounter in the final of the ICC World T20 Championship, India and Pakistan are all set to square off now in a 5-match ODI series and 3-test-match series in India. Now, the last time Pakistan played India for a full series was a couple of years back in 2004-2005. They drew the test series 1-1 and Pakistan won the ODI series 4-2. How will this series pan out? What's at stake for both the teams? To answer these questions and more, I have with me Ramiz Jaja, the former Pakistan captain, and former India batsman Sanjay Mandrekar. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Let's just start off with a little bit of personal insight. Now, you both have played in a lot of India-Pakistan clashes. Just what does it mean to, you know, an Indian or Pakistani player to play in this series? And there's so much pressure. You get the feeling that sometimes maybe even the players aren't enjoying it. Ramiz, if you want to kick off the ball there.
Yes, it was always fun, and it was fun handling pressure also. I mean, pressure to different players is different, but the fact that you were playing in India in front of a large audience and against a good side and with media attention on you all the time, you know, it sort of, for a Pakistani, it brought out the best out of us. But there's pressure, and good players have to deal with pressure, and this is exactly what the Pakistanis will have to do on this tour as well.
Pandya, how is it for you playing in you played in the 89 series, you had a lot of success against Pakistan as well. How was the experience for you?
You know, what happens externally outside the cricket ground is, of course, different when it's India-Pakistan. Involvement of the spectators is different. You know, there's a little bit of needle edge there to the contest. And as far as the actual contest between bat and ball was concerned, for me, you know, Pakistan, when I played them, was one of the best teams in the world, but certainly not the best as, you know, the West Indies or the Australians were. It's just that, you know, as I said, that extra needle that came into the contest made it different, and that was the pressure that the players had to handle. Not so much, you know, the bat and ball pressure.
Okay, just moving on to this series now and how it's going to pan out. Both, at least the one-day sides, there's I guess a mix in both teams of some pride and some tested players, some players still making their way into the international arena. Sanjay, if we start off with you on this one, how do you see the two sides stacking up in the ODI series?
I put India as the slight favorite purely because as a team it looks a little more organized than Pakistan. Pakistan's performance has been like chalk and cheese, you know, with their leaders. I mean, they had a good settled leader that the team respected. It showed immediately in their performances. So I'm a little skeptical about the current leadership of Pakistan and just the way the team is responding to that leadership. I mean, I've got nothing against Shoaib Malik. He was the best possible choice that the selectors could make. But Pakistan find themselves in a position where, you know, they are just struggling to get themselves organized with an established leader who the players respect is there at the helm. Whereas in comparison, India look a little more organized, more settled as a unit. So looking at that and not looking so much at the individual abilities, I just feel that India seem better prepared and hence the slight favorites for me.
I just wanted to put this to you that, you know, Pakistan, there's a lot of talk in Pakistan right now about how this is a new side and this is a new era. But you know just as well as anyone that many of this side have actually been around for, you know, 3 or 4 years now. Is it a new side? Should we give them that leeway? And how will they then do against India in this series?
I mean, there's a mix, but as you rightly have pointed out, I think Pakistan will depend on the likes of Yusuf and Yunus Khan and Shoaib Akhtar. I don't see a lot of youth in this side. I mean, you know, most of these players have traveled to India before also. At the end of the day, I think it'll be all about handling pressure. Pakistan on paper is clearly a lesser side than India. But we know that in India, a team that can hold nerve in tight situations can win the contest, even though they may not be as skillful as the other. But once again, the pressure will be on the senior players, on the experienced players, and youth really has not excited me. Whatever I've seen of the youth, you know, sprinkling of youth, it has not really convinced me.
Now, I just want to talk a little bit about the captains of both the sides. They're both young captains. They're both new to the job. How do you see Shoaib Malik and Mahendra Singh Dhoni handling this challenge?
I like Dhoni, what I've seen of him, because he's calm and relaxed, and his composure allows his sort of troops to be relaxed also. He keeps it simple and has an uncluttered mind in intense panic situations, which can only be great for his team also. He's keeping his touch new heights. I mean, I would rate him at par with Adam Gilchrist right now. And after becoming the captain, he's improved further. Shoaib, on the other hand, has shown sort of skills in one-day internationals, but in test cricket, I mean, if he has to become a successful captain, he's got to work extremely hard on his batting, especially dealing with short pitch delivery, because, you know, that is where I think he'll be targeted. And last thing Pakistani camp would want is to see skipper bounce out of the competition, which would indeed be very embarrassing, not only for Shoaib, but for his team and for the selectors as well.
Sanjay, do you are you broadly agreeing with what Ramiz said there about Dhoni and Malik as captains?
Without, you know, trying to get into an agreement or disagreement with Ramiz, what I have my own views on the two captains. I think Mahendra Singh Dhoni is a little more fortunate than Shoaib Malik to have the kind of team that he has. In the sense, you know, Indians are a little more easier to handle for a young leader than, you know, the Pakistan team. And also, you know, Mahendra Singh Dhoni is a wicketkeeper primarily, who bats really well. So there isn't that kind of a pressure. He is respected for his abilities by the players. And, you know, he's had a tough baptism in the World 2020. He won that tournament, so he's supreme in confidence. And then there was Australia. So for him, India-Pakistan is not going to be as much of a test of his temperament or nerves or, you know, whether he's going to take pressure. Shoaib Malik has an unenviable job. You know, he's got a few legends of Pakistan cricket in the team there. Shoaib Akhtar coming back into the team is not going to be helpful. And as Ramiz said, you know, Shoaib Malik's lack of success at the test level hasn't been as much as it's been at the one-day level. And that is something that the players themselves, you know, in the dressing room respect a lot, recognize a lot. Players will respect a player who has excelled at the test level, maybe not as good in the one-day as more than, you know, a captain that they have who excels only at the one-day level and doesn't quite, you know, prove his mettle at the test level. So Shoaib Malik is, you know, in a position which is a lot more difficult position than Mahendra Singh Dhoni.
Now, you know, as much as the India-Pakistan clash is about the team clash as well, you know, this series is going to be a lot of sort of enthralling individual face-offs. We've got the comebacks of Shoaib Akhtar and Virendra Sehwag on one side, and they've been involved in a couple of great clashes, possibly the two wives, Yunus and Yusuf, against Sahil Kumble as well. Sanjay, if we just start with you, how do you, are there any other interesting sort of, you know, individual contests that you're looking forward to during the series?
More than Sehwag, Shoaib Akhtar, I think it should be Sachin Tendulkar versus Shoaib Akhtar, because, you know, it's been interesting in the past, recent past, where Shoaib Akhtar has perhaps a slight edge over Tendulkar, you know, when he's bowled against in recent times. So I'd like to see that happening again. But we are assuming that Shoaib Akhtar is going to be at his best straight away. You know, it's not going to be easy for him. He's been out of action for a while. So, you know, how he is going to handle that attention, pressure, whether he's going to be fit enough to play right through the series. You know, it's easy to build up an individual contest. But what if you have Shoaib Akhtar unfit after one match due to some problem? So more than individual clashes, it's really about team. And if at all there is a clash that I'm looking towards, it would be perhaps Shoaib Akhtar versus Sachin Tendulkar.
I also like the clash of Shoaib and Sehwag, because both are making a comeback and both would like to prove a point. Both are aggressive, yet street smart and know when to sort of pull out. So it should be a good contest. As Sanjay mentioned, you know, it remains to be seen whether Shoaib will be fit for the series, because he's flattered to deceive so many times. So therefore, the big question will be whether this Shoaib Akhtar threat is for real or, you know, like he usually does, self-destruct. I also like Afridi Harbhajan or Irfan Pathan. Irfan Pathan has needled Shahid Afridi quite a few times. We saw that during the 2020 World Cup. I also like to see Yuvraj versus, say, Umar Gul, because Umar Gul has improved quite dramatically as a one-day bowler. He can bowl those Yorkers.
Now, one of the problems facing both sides, I guess, especially Pakistan, is with the opening combination. Now, Ramiz, I want to direct this to you first. How do you see, one, how do you see both sides going about it? And two, you know, if you just talk a little bit about Salman Butt, who hasn't been in the playing spot, in the playing 11 for some time now, but all three of his ODI hundreds, when he has done well, have been against India. So should he be persisted with?
Okay, right. I believe that the Indian selectors have selected five openers. And they've, as a result, given a bit of a headache to a young captain like Dhoni. Because, you know, as a young leader, you'd want to keep things simple for him. It can also be seen as a problem of plenty for India. And compared to Pakistan, who are playing, you know, such an important series without a settled opener, India will feel that obviously they have a head start in the series. Coming back to Salman Butt, But a left-hander, I think, can be handy up the order for the simple reason that India have four or five left-arm bowling options. So by default, Salman Butt may get the nod to open for Pakistan in this series. Also, the fact that I believe he has had a good run against the Indians, so that may also make his case stronger.
You've seen both sides regularly over the last couple of years, and you've seen Pakistan go through their problems, you know, trying different pairs, trying different people. How much of a factor do you think is going to play in this series, both sides, the fact that they haven't maybe got a settled opening pair?
I think if you're talking about one-dayers, India has a pretty settled opening pair in Ganguly and Tendulkar, although I must emphasize on the fact that Ganguly will be under tremendous pressure after Dravid was dropped, so he would, you know, it was a strong hint towards Ganguly that you know better put in some extraordinary performances to keep your place. So whether that will hamper his approach right at the top, one will have to wait and see. The selection here has been a little strange, you know. I mean, Dravid has been dropped from the middle order, and you've got so many options at the top, whereas Dravid's exclusion hasn't been backed up by too many middle order batsmen. So there is for a change in the middle, there is a bit of leeway for batsmen, whereas there is a lot of crowd there at the top. Pakistan, I feel for Pakistani selectors. I've been following Pakistan cricket very closely for the last 3-4 years. Unfortunate part of Pakistan cricket is that they have just not thrown up good openers with convincing abilities to play the new ball. The selectors have tried so many openers, and to be fair to them, sometimes you feel, an opener has not been given a long run, but it's not so much the fault of the selectors as perhaps the system or the way cricket is played in Pakistan that it's just not throwing up quality opener. So that's something that Pakistan may have to look at.
Sandeep, you touched on Rahul Dravid's exclusion from the side. I just want to expand on that a little bit. He's been dropped, of course, from the first two ODIs against Pakistan. And Yunus Khan, I believe the Pakistan vice captain, has gone record to say that he thinks it's a bit of a mistake for India to have done that. What sort of impact do you see this having on the Indian batting lineup?
I'll tell you something. One of the healthiest developments in recent times with Indian cricket has been that no one individual has become indispensable. When Sachin Tendulkar was resting due to injuries, India was still winning the important games. Even when Ganguly was out, India was winning matches. I don't see a dramatic effect, with the absence of Rahul Dravid. I think that is where Indian cricket has really moved on. But certainly in pressure situations, when you're chasing, say, 280 runs to win, you've lost 3 wickets at the top, that is when you needed a Dravid to play with a Yuvraj Singh or Mahendra Singh Dhoni and take India to a win. A calm head under pressure, accumulating the runs, absorbing the pressure and winning those games when we are chasing. India's weakness in recent times has been chasing targets, and that's because Dravid hasn't quite fired as much as he used to. I think that is where Pakistan will also miss Inzamam, who won them some important games the last time they were here, when they were chasing targets and somebody to handle the pressure. I think Inzamam did it fantastically for Pakistan. So Mohammad Yusuf, Yunus Khan have to step up and take up that that role of Inzamam. And likewise, India will feel a slight pinch there with Dravid's absence.
Well, Rahul Dravid is the most selfless cricketer that I've seen, to come up from the subcontinental region, because he's been honest, he's been very good for India, honorable character, and so he'll be missed. But I think, he may feel roughed up by the ouster, but the fact is that he was getting a serious competition from the younger players, so that is why he's not been played in the first two games. But, a terrific player. India can do away with a magnificent player like Rahul Dravid because they're batting depth. Pakistan, on the other end, are still sort of careful about losing Inzi because the younger players have not stepped up to take his place. Yunus and Yusuf, therefore, will be under a lot of pressure because they'll have to carry the burden of the entire batting unit. And ask any batsman if his natural game is stifled because of the team constraints or demand, he becomes half a player and therefore our two major players are in danger of becoming half players.
For the first time, I think in a long time, the pace attacks of both sides are pretty good. I think the first time in many years, probably India can match, if not better, Pakistan's pace attack. Sanjay, what's your thoughts on this?
I think it's a good point you make that India has a much better pace attack this time round, but still I'm not convinced that it's better than Pakistan's bowling attack. But yes, Zaheer Khan, RP Singh, give us hope. And they are bowlers who are used to bowling on flat pitches and against attacking batsmen. So both these bowlers are going to spearhead India's bowling attack in the one-day series on flat pitches. But when you look at ability, I think Pakistan has more of bowling ability as to exploiting conditions. Let's not forget there are a couple of games in the first four matches which have a 9 o'clock start, and we are coming close to winter. The team winning the toss and in helpful conditions, they bowl first. then you can expect Pakistan to, you know, really use those conditions beautifully.
Ramiz, how much will Pakistan miss Mohammad Asif?
Oh, they'll miss him very much because, you know, he's a wicket-taking option at medium pace. And as Sanjay mentioned, you know, with early start, I think he could have created a lot of damage. But I think his form has slipped just a little bit. What I saw of Asif in that series against South Africa, I wasn't convinced completely. I think he's struggling for form and bit of fitness as well, and that's why he's not included in the one-day squad.
Okay, and you've been watching, the Indian pace attack as well recently. You must be pretty impressed by this current attack.
I've been very impressed because Zahir Khan has bowled splendidly well. The thing that strikes me most about the Indian bowling attack is that they've been very disciplined. You know, if you compare them with the Pakistani attack, they may not have the same kinds of skills. But if you look at them, you know, from a team's point of view, I think they are capable of producing the goods more than Pakistan because they are a disciplined lot. RP Singh has picked up pace. Irfan Pathan, we see, is now varying his pace. So he's become a lot more intelligent. Zahir Khan is bowling the best that I've seen in the last 2-3 years. So the options are there. Murali Karthik, the spinning option, is been introduced by Dhoni because he picked him and he damaged Australia quite badly. It's a skillful bowling attack, and yet it is more disciplined than Pakistan.
Now, this is also a face-off between possibly two of the worst fielding sides in world cricket. Pakistan's fielding has been very erratic, ranging from the very poor to the mediocre sort of against South Africa. India also has struggled a little bit. How crucial, Sanjay, if we start with you, do you think how much of it will come down to the fielding in the end?
Says a lot about our culture, isn't it, which is quite similar, India and Pakistan. We don't like to do the donkey's work. We get somebody else to do it. So that's why fielding has always been the weakness of, you know, our teams, India and Pakistan. You know, I would like to use the cliche saying, you know, fielding matters and it's the better fielding side that will win. But India-Pakistan clashes have never been about fielding. You know, Pakistan have dropped catches. India have misfielded under pressure. So it is more about, you know, sheer ability of individuals and handling pressure in tight situations. Fielding is an important aspect of the game when you're looking to become, you know, world champs. But if you're looking to just beat Pakistan, then you won't be able to beat them with just better fielding. It's got to be backed up by some good batting and bowling. Because, you know, in the end, it evens out. Because Pakistan also will not be saving those extra runs, nor India, with, you know, some veterans still continuing to play one-day cricket. That's not going to help India's cause as well. So it almost nullifies itself. So it's batting and bowling when it's India and Pakistan.
Well, Usman, good thing is that we'll never know who's worse. Pakistan will miss Inzamam in the field. It's never been, a fielding spectacle when India and Pakistan play. But even then, I think India has a slight edge because there's Yuvraj and there's Gautam Gambhir and there's Robin Uthappa. And they're good movers, whereas Pakistan depend heavily on Shoaib Malik and Yunus Khan.
I just wanted to add on, Ramiz, a thought about Kamran Akmal. You know, the 2005 tour, the last tour Pakistan made to India was the real making of him as an international player. But he's fallen away drastically since then, and you know he's proved he's dropped a couple of catches in recent matches. How crucial is his performance on this tour for Pakistan?
It'll be a very, very crucial test of keeping and of his makeup because Kamran Akmal is under severe threat of losing his position. But I think selectors have made the right choice because keeper is a central figure in a team, and to replace Kamran Akmal just before an important tour like India wouldn't have made a lot of sense. His keeping has certainly gone down. It could be a confidence crisis for him. It could be that he's technically lacking that ability to make sure that he's still a better keeper in the business. But he has got to improve quite dramatically because I always thought that keeping didn't matter a great deal in one-day cricket. But he's sort of missing on important catches. He's dropping important players, and they're hurting Pakistan team quite badly. The other option is that he could have been rested, and Pakistan don't have another keeper in the 16, so he'll be played, and the pressure will mount because he'll play all the matches, and if he doesn't perform well, then the entire team will be affected by his performance.
Sanjay, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because you've seen, obviously, you probably saw Kamran Akmal, much of the rise of Kamran Akmal over the last year, and you've probably seen him sort of go the way maybe of someone in India like Parthiv Patel.
Well, I must confess, I've seen mostly Kamran Akmal playing well. You know, when he's failed, I haven't been fortunate enough to watch the game. But, you know, it's happened to so many wicketkeepers. You mentioned Parthiv Patel as well. And, you know, it's not easy for all that to, you know, fall back into place. Kamran Akmal, last time, as you said, rediscovered himself. In fact, we found, in fact, I kept using the word that he's one of the greatest rising stars in world cricket. India might just, you know, might just revitalize him, might get back his form, because Indian conditions, you know, he might find the challenge a bit easier to handle. Indian conditions a bit like Pakistan, and, you know, one good performance against India, and, you know, the it gives you such a great feeling. So I hope, you know, his confidence comes back.
Okay, now, this series is also the start of some very hectic seasons for both India and Pakistan. You know, there's some big challenges coming up. India have got to go to Australia soon, and Australia visit Pakistan soon after that. And if we go to you first, how crucial is a victory for either side here, you know, especially at the start of this very busy season?
To be very honest, I don't know when the season starts these days and when does it end. It seems to be going on and on. I mean, what both teams, in India and Pakistan, want is a win. It's only about the result. I mean, forget about the future and the past. India need to beat Pakistan at home for their fans, you know, to remember that as another conquest over their favorite opposition. Pakistan also likewise. So it's just about play to win without looking too much into the past and the future.
Well, I tend to agree with Sanjay. I think forget about building for the future. For either of them, losing is not an option. So future is doomed if you lose this one. and so both teams will be looking to win this and trying to stay in the present.
Okay, just rounding things up now, I want both of you guys to give me your views on this. Who, Ramiz, if we start with you, who do you think, if you could just sum up, are going to be the key players who will make a difference and the key aspects of the team that might make a difference in this series?
Afridi, I think, in one-day cricket. Then from Pakistan, I think Yusuf, because so much will depend on his brilliance in the middle order now that we don't have in Zamam. From India's point of view, I like what I've seen of Robin Uthappa in one-day cricket because he's smart, his bat speed is magnificent, and he likes to attack and bats his talking with his bat. He's an aggressive character, and that is what we want in one-day cricket. Yuvraj has also been very impressive. India have got some very good young players. Pakistan will be banking on Yusuf and Afridi's magic in one-day cricket.
For me, from the Indian viewpoint, clearly, I mean, Yuvraj Singh, Mahendra Singh, Dhoni and Zahir Khan, if all you know, three of them have a good series, India will win the series. As far as Pakistan is concerned, I'd really like to see Shoaib Akhtar, you know, come back, hit full form and stays and plays right through the series, and doesn't leave midway for whatever reason, so that he could be the key player for Pakistan. Yunus Khan's, more than, you know, his batting ability, his qualities as a person, I think it's very important. I hope he takes, as vice captain, the load from Shoaib Malik a bit, and just to keep nice harmony in the team so that it shows in the performance. Shahid Afridi becomes a key player when you have flat conditions, flat batting conditions. Generally bowls well these days, but when it comes to batting, it's purely dictated by the kind of batting conditions that are prevalent in that particular series. And here in India, the batting conditions would be good for Shahid Afridi. He made a great impact the last time round, so I expect him to be one of the key players for Pakistan.
Why don't you, both of you, give us your predictions for the Test and ODI series. If we start with you, Ramiz, predictions for the Test and ODI series?
I think India start, obviously, as favourites, because what I've seen of them against Australia, I was impressed. You know, they came back and hurt Australia and won last a couple of matches quite convincingly. And they looked really a champion team in 2020 cricket. So they're battle-hardened. They played against the best team in the world, and Australia exposed your worst quality. So they would know now, you know, how to overcome the deficiencies when they play against Pakistan. Pakistan would want to have that tag of underdogs. When you travel to India, you don't want to enter India with a cocky attitude that you're there to derail India straight away. I think it'll be a difficult tour for Pakistan, because I think, you know, that punch is missing from this side. They look very timid against South Africa in the one-day series. They didn't win the Test series also. I think, you know, I'd like to question the approach here of the Pakistan team, because I didn't see anything aggressive about their planning or strategy. So I'm just a touch disappointed. But India always brings out the best in Pakistan, and that is what the players and administrators and the fans and the crowds will be hoping.
I see India as the clear favourites in the one-day series, and Pakistan have a better chance against India in the Test series, you know, just because of the kind of individual abilities that they have. I think it's going to be challenging India more in the longer version of the game. The only thing that I worry about is the current scenario in Indian cricket. Because of the T20 result, there is pressure on the selectors and on the senior players to go for youth. Whether that's going to get the senior players more pressured and whether that will affect their performance in return, affect the performance of the team, that is something that I really worry about. Start worrying about their places which are being threatened by youth, then it might just hamper India's performance in this season.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of the Cricket Roundtable. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your views and your thoughts.
Thank you.
And don't forget to join us again next time. Until then, it's me, Usman, saying goodbye.
This is Cricket Info Talk.